Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're here for Cowboy Church.
Who is the most influential person that's ever walked the face of the earth. And you know who that is.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's no question, is there?
Right, no question.
And Jesus had an unusual method. See, he always did everything backwards. And because he said, if you're going to be greatest in the kingdom, you have to be least. Mm-hmm. If you're going to gain your life, you have to lose your life. And everything is just completely backwards.
To the human mind, yeah. To the human.
And so even about influence, you know, he had the big rally for 4,000 and then one for 5,000. But the big rally was not where he based his ministry. His ministry went to 12 people. Mm-hmm. Now he had 70 people that were pretty close that caught a lot of stuff. But his main emphasis for ministry was only at 12 people.
Right.
His whole life, his whole ministry, he only affected 12 people who carried on the pursuit of what he had. And that's to be and do the will of the Father.
Right.
And then he had three really close friends, Peter, James, and John. Because of that, you'd think, well, there's not much influence here. Hmm. Jesus had it figured out about how to go about focusing on the individuals that God put into his life. And still today, he's the greatest influencing individual that is still influencing on the earth today.
Well, I know why you enjoy Cowboy Church and why you're sitting there again this Sunday, this episode, to get and glean some good stuff from Pastor Russ's messages. So we're going to hear some singing, and then we're going to go into Cowboy Church. So sit tight. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Maybelle McCoy is singing out too loud. The kids are on the front row making her proud. Betty Lou's got the old upright rocking to the rhythm of the Lord. Brother Ray's passing around the offering plate. The Billy Green family sneaking in late. Brother Paul starts preaching and there ain't no stopping till they're all in one accord. They're my kind of people. They're my kind of people. And this is the church and this is the steeple. You open the door, it's my kind of people. Y'all remember learning that in vacation Bible school? The souls are fed and the lost are found. Everybody's ready for dinner on the ground. Whole fried chicken and homegrown tomatoes and some Carolina tea. After blackberry cobbler and chocolate pie, the preacher calls everybody back inside for some down-home grand clapping quartet singing, My Savior God to Thee. Well, they're my kind of people. They're my kind of people. And this is the church and this is the steeple. You open the door, it's my kind of people. Everybody get your hands up. Let's practice this. Make sure the people are on the inside. There's the church. There's the steeple. Open the door. Turn it over. Make sure you wiggle them. Make sure they're away. Come on.
They're my kind of people. They're my kind of people. This is the church and this is the steeple. You open the door. It's my kind of people.
It's my kind of people.
Turn to your neighbor and sing it to them.
You're my kind of people.
We were, okay, there was rodeo, And when we were on the rodeo circuit, we would always go in a car most of the time before they really pulled trailers and pickups. So their mom and daddy had four young kids. She had four kids in 5 years, okay? My older sister was five when I was born. So mama had her hands full. So as we sat in the back seat of that car, my mama would teach us how to sing so that we would not bother each other and fight and bother daddy. Now daddy had the mechanism. If his hand got up here on the back of the front seat, you better start shutting up. Have you noticed that kids don't get little tools like that anymore? You know, there it is. They just get louder. We got very quiet. If it dropped, it was like God parting the Red Sea. And you fought for the sides because he couldn't reach you there. And if he ever got a hunk of your leg, you were in trouble. But we learned really, really quick to obey. So that's how we started singing. And as we grew up and went to many different plays, and we sang in the bars and the honky-tonks, and then I started singing Christian music in 1984. But this is a song that I adapted to our family, and it kind of tells a little bit of a history of our family.
When Reba got a part in the Christmas play, though she only had one song to sing, Mama spent all day and called the family together. And when Daddy lost it all in a cattle deal, everybody knew we couldn't pay our bills. We never missed a meal. We called the family together. We ate a lot of mountain oysters.
Family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall.
They may not have all the answers, but they'll be there when you call. Like when Allison Roberts' dog named Jake ate his way through the wedding cake. We had an all-night bake with all the family together. And when Alice's baby fought for her life, until we knew she'd be alright, we prayed all night and called the family together. 'Cause family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall. They'll be there when you call. Some have gone and some remain, but by and by we'll meet again some sweet day, all the family together. And when the wheels of time are standing still and the Father's house is finally built, the good Lord will call his family together. Oh, the good Lord will call his family together.
And you know what? It won't matter if you're a cowboy, a ditch digger, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or what. We're all going to be together. Amen.
Today we're going to be talking about the concept of clearing the frequencies. One of the things that happened when we first moved into this building, we had our sound system, and you know, we have these cordless mics now, and we got the cordless mic set up in the building, and we would begin to do something in worship or message or something, and this sound would come across our sound system, and they would be announcing something for the cement truck to get to some sort of place. And we realized that we had frequency issues. And so I really think that, excuse me, I really think part of the issues that we have as Christians
is we begin to get distracted with frequencies that we don't need to be frequenting. So clearing the frequencies, just to give you a little bit of a setup, last week we talked about the mind and how important it was for us to understand what goes on in our mind. We have the two sides, remember the synapses that connect the two sides, and those are the trains of thought that help us to work with and organize our thinking and our memory, and those synapses that connect the two sides of your mind can be improved on. How many of you have ever tried to memorize anything? Yeah. Like some of these songs, you try to memorize the songs, and part of the reason we have the words on the wall is so everybody can sing along. The other reason we have the words on the wall is for those who've been practicing and trying to memorize what the words are. If that leaves, they can cheat. And that way they can see the, because the first time you try to memorize something, you say, okay, you read it and you think, wait, I liked it, but I can't remember what I said. But I got the concept, but I can't put the words together. So you read it again, you know, and then you go through and you work at it and work at it until you memorize it. And then when you memorize it, those synapses begin to connect between the two sides of your brain. They begin to set up patterns and storage units inside your brain. And it's important that you understand that, because if you're going to be a good thinker, it's not about being smart. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how you organize your thoughts and develop your thinking. And the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason that's important, it gives it to you, you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So all of this battle that we're going on has to do with our thinking. So as we begin to go through the thinking and these synapses and the rules of thought, we have a verse of scripture that we're gonna sit down on for just a second. Last week I bumped it a little bit and talked to you about the process of with the word meditation. That when we think about the word meditation, we have been taught by people that we should just clear our minds. Have you heard that? Just clear your minds of everything. Just clear your mind. But we learned last week that the devil knows how to get inside our mind. Whoever says the devil doesn't know what you're thinking about hasn't read the word of God, because the devil knows exactly what you're thinking. That's where his battleground is. And he puts words and thoughts in there. How many? No, don't raise your hand on this. Because it's not important. But we catch ourselves going down these trails of thought that we think, what in the world am I thinking of? I go to church. I'm a Christian. I don't need to be thinking about this. And we get angry over stuff that is just crazy. And I fully believe that a lot of crime happens because of an impulse that people have let the wrong voice get inside their head, and they think that that is their thinking and they're bad people, and in despair, they give up on life and they give up on doing the right thing. So we need to help clear the waves and the frequencies so that we begin to hone in on which voice is God's voice. Because last week we learned that Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That means that God is a gentleman. He's not going to come into your thought process unless you invite him in. So if you clear your mind, what's going to happen when you clear your mind? The uninvited takes over. But when you begin to meditate the way that God has designed your mind to meditate, you begin to think on these things, then what happens is you begin to get victory in your thought life. Psalm 46:10, the message today, Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us today to understand how important our thinking process is. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to win this battle and learn how to overcome sin and how to overcome our thought life. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you." I read yesterday in my devotion about Joseph. Joseph had a really difficult childhood. He was a spoiled brat. It's the most difficult kind because it just sets him up for disillusionment. Life was supposed to be perfect. He had the perfect clothes. He was the favorite kid. He was all of that stuff, and his brothers hated him, got sold into slavery. Now, at this point, in their mind, what Joseph should have done is get him a Facebook account and let everybody know how bad his brothers are and how bad everything is going on and how awful he has it, and he become a victim, and then he can have some help, see? And if you can sympathize with it, then I win. But Joseph, sold into slavery, he says, "I'm going to do a good job here." He did such a good job that it wasn't long till the guy that bought him put him in charge of everything to where he didn't even have to pay attention. Potiphar was a golfer, I think. And I always think that the reason he liked having Joseph around is so that Joseph could take care of the business, so the business would never suffer, so he could go play golf. That's what the deal was, see? And Potiphar's wife didn't like that Potiphar was always out playing golf and Joseph was always hanging around the house. So she tried to entice Joseph falsely. He runs off. The guy's always having trouble with his clothes. They took his coat of many colors and messed it all up and sent it to his dad and said, "I think a wild animal got him." And then he's got another coat. He's earned his way up. God has given him another coat. He's got this other coat. And Potiphar's wife pulls a coat and tears it and says, "This guy tried to molest me." So they put him in prison. Joseph has not had it well at all. And I know you can't get your Facebook account in prison, but at that point, you sure whine to everybody else and do what every other prisoner does. Every other prisoner says, "I'm not guilty," and begin to cry about not being guilty. And here's the one who's not guilty. Instead of crying about not being guilty or thinking about what he's going to do when he gets out to get even with everybody, he begins to think about what he can do, and he begins to improve his situation. He is so good at being a prisoner that the prisoner plays golf with Potiphar's. That's the deal. So he doesn't want to run the prison. He tells Joseph, he said, "You run the prison." Joseph, a prisoner, is now running the prison. It's absolutely amazing. You know how Joseph got there? Joseph got there because he began to discipline his mind to think the way that you're supposed to think as a child of God. I can prove it. When everything turned around for him, and now he's in charge of not just the prison, not just Potiphar's house, he has become in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. The Pharaoh has now said, "Joseph, why don't you run Egypt and I'll play golf with the rest of the guys?" I'm not sure exactly if that's how it happened, but Joseph is now running the nation. And his brothers have trouble with food, and they don't have enough food out there because of the drought. They come to him, and Joseph makes this statement. See, people that have the right thinking do not deny what the truth is, but they make the best of what the truth is. He tells his brothers, "You intended it for bad, that's the truth, but God intended it for good." Man, if we can just figure out how God wants us to think and meditate, our life will be transformed. Our life will be transformed. It won't be exactly like Joseph's, but I'll guarantee it will be so much better than the other option. If we don't think correctly, the only other option we have is disaster after disaster after victimization after victimization. Look, if you're a victim, I feel for you. There are genuine victims, and God knows that God has mercy and grace. But I'm going to tell you, if you won't be a victim of what's next after the victimization, you will let God be God. God can use whatever has ever happened to you for good and make something out of it, and you can be an overcomer. I guarantee it. Be still and know that I'm God. The other place that there's something like this, it says, be still and see the hand of God. You know when that was? It's when all of Israel was whining at the Red Sea. They're all whining, and Moses goes to God. Moses, he's the one who figured out how to think. He goes to God. Everything's going bad. They're trapped. He goes to God. Moses stood in front of the people, and he says, I have no idea what to do next, but God does. And there were people that got mad and left this church because I had no vision. Yeah. You know why? You know why that happens? Is because everybody faces the same situation that Moses faced. And if we don't get to a point where we are in a place where we're no longer in charge, we will never learn how to trust God. Never learn how to trust God. And Moses turned to God and he says, I'm out of options. The people are out of options. You see the army coming. You're God. Such a cool thing. He says, be still. And he said, basically, watch this. He says, see the hand of God. Watch this. He said, you want direction? Head for the sea. They head for the sea. They get to the sea. Now what? Just keep going. Keep going. When they put their foot in the sea, the waters parted. Man, miraculous, miraculous, miraculous victory happened when people ran out of options. And when they ran out of options, the only option left is this. You're going to get mad at blame God, or are you going to say, this is yours? Yes. And every time we have an option, we can choose God or we can choose to be mad at God. Every time. And if you choose God, you win. And if you choose to be mad at God, you lose. And it's that easy if you don't get anything else.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. We don't have big support. We don't have big sponsors. You don't see any big commercials on these shows. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.